The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. Yes, all good. Interesting to see that Israel and Jordan have reached an agreement on exchanging prisoners. Two Jordanian nationals have been held by Israel in administrative detention, I think I got that right, for a few months. We're not advised why they were arrested, but these two individuals who were arrested separately, both of whom came to visit family members from Jordan for family events or something like that, were arrested by Israeli authorities. And we then the Jordanian government actually withdrew its ambassador from Israel in protest against the continued detention of these two individuals. We now understand that they will be released, that the Jordanian ambassador to Israel will be returned. There was some talk of trying to link the arrest of these two people to the land dispute that Israel and Jordan have along that border between Israel and Jordan, where Israel has effectively had use of land on an understanding with the Jordanian government, and the Jordanian government has now decided to take the land back, and the Israeli government was trying to protest that. And there was some talk of linking that as part of the agreement to the release of these individuals. I haven't seen any of that reported at all, but it's interesting that, you know, the relationship between Israel and Jordan is such that it's important for these two people to be released in order to try to maintain peace between the two countries. And of course, Jordan going through its own political turmoil at the moment. The government had to resign. The king will be appointing a new government in Jordan. So, you know, we'll be watching to see how all of that pans out over the next few weeks as well.
Interesting indeed. Maybe less interesting, maybe more interesting, I'm not sure, is the coalition update. Where are we? Is there anything happening in the saga?
Yeah, I mean, nothing to really report on the coalition. The only thing that we can report, which is kind of linked to the coalition, is this whole issue of the legal cases against Prime Minister Netanyahu. And there are some conflicting reports about what the Ministry of Justice has decided or may be deciding about whether to pursue legal proceedings against him or not. And I say this under the context, under the heading of coalition update, because, I mean, this is definitely an issue that affects the formation of the next government. And as we move nearer to the decision by the Ministry of Justice as to whether they will pursue a legal case against Netanyahu or not, I feel that the Israeli public will need to make a decision as to whether Prime Minister Netanyahu can continue in a senior government role or not. And even though there are such conflicting views within the general public about, you know, whether he should be forced to stand aside before he's actually convicted, never mind before, or never mind at the time that the legal proceedings might be announced against him, but until he's actually convicted. This is definitely the main issue that is kind of giving emphasis, giving some influence to the formation of the next coalition. I mean, as I said before, and as I continue to say, I don't see Benny Gantz forming a government. He's trying to form a minority government. I don't see that really being practical. And so therefore, I don't see him forming a government at all. And therefore, the question comes as to what will President Rivlin do in that three-week period that follows the return of the mandate to the president. Once Benny Gantz has decided he can't form a government, what will the president do then? And I think that this issue of the legal cases against Netanyahu will play a very, very influential role in his decision as to what he does then. Now, what we're hearing from the Ministry of Justice is really two things. First of all, just on the radio this morning, I heard that there seems to be consensus amongst all within the Ministry of Justice that case 1000 does warrant charging Netanyahu with fraud and with with fraud on the issue of the case 1000. The case 1000 are these gifts that Netanyahu received from several notable billionaires, James Packer, Arnon Minchan, and others. So this seems to be kind of the smaller case, not such a big issue in terms of the overall charges that are being that he's being accused of at the moment. But the Ministry of Justice, according to what I heard this morning, does seem to be fairly unanimous in its view amongst all of those who are considering this, that Netanyahu does have a case to answer on this issue. But really, this is not the big one. The big one is really case 4000, which is the Bezek case. And from that, we understand that there is not a unanimous view. And in fact, it was interesting that just yesterday, the state attorney, Shai Nitzan, said that he and the attorney general have not yet agreed upon what they're going to do on this issue. There seems to be some lack of consensus between the two of them as to what they really need to do. The interesting thing is that Shai Nitzan will be stepping down from his job on December the 15th, and we note that the attorney general also said, coincidentally, that they intend to issue a full statement and to make a decision as to what they will do with these cases by the time that Shai Nitzan steps down on December the 15th. If we believe what he's been saying in public about where the decision-making process is right now, then there doesn't seem to, it doesn't seem likely that they might even reach a decision by December the 15th. And if they do, it's certainly going to be in the last few days rather than now. There was some speculation that they might try somehow to accelerate the decision-making process and to get a decision out a little bit earlier in order to facilitate the formation of the coalition government. That now seems quite unlikely. And in all honesty, even if they have made a decision on the case 1000, these gifts that Netanyahu is reported to have received fraudulently, I mean, the word fraud is being used in the charges that they feel they should lay against him. If there is consensus that he does have a case to answer, it seems somehow to be a relatively small case and therefore not that influential. I think the case 4000, the Bezek case, is really the big one. And I think that that's really the one that's going to, cause people to sit up and think and be influential in how people consider what we're going to do next. So that, unfortunately, is what's ruling at the moment in terms of the coalition update, because in terms of actual progress towards forming a government, there's really nothing at all to report. And as I said yesterday, it seems as if the negotiating diary for this week on coalition discussions is completely empty.
Crazy. It's looking more and more likely, I think, that Israel is going to a third election, but let's see what happens. This is an amazing story that the government committee has approved the construction of a cable car for Jerusalem's old city. I'm really not sure what I feel about it, but it's probably quite convenient. Tell us about this.
Well, this is really, I wanted to open this up to a broader discussion because it is definitely a dilemma in people's minds. On the one hand, you want the old city to be kind of traditional. And, you know, you've always got that look of the Jerusalem stone, which makes the old city and, in fact, the city of Jerusalem in general feel like, you know, there's an attempt to try to continue some of the traditions of the past and to maintain it as not only the holy city, but to have some sort of a feel, an atmosphere about the city. And I do admit that things like the new bridge that has been constructed at the entrance of Jerusalem are somewhat contradictory because it feels very modern in a city that, you know, there has been a long attempt to, you know, to try to continue the sort of ancient feel about it, the historical feel about it. And now we're talking about constructing a cable car to go into the old city of Jerusalem. And I'd love to know what people think about this. I mean, on the one hand, clearly there is a need for it. The estimates of visitors to the old city show that there are something like 135,000 visitors a week visiting the old city, of which about 24,000 a week are tourists. That's on average. Obviously, some times of the year, it's much, much busier than that, certainly during Pesach and Sukkot and over holiday period, summertime. It gets a lot busier than that. And ironically, also over the Christian holiday periods, Easter, and indeed over the Christmas time, people do tend to visit the old city a lot more. And really, the truth of the matter is that the facilities that the old city has and the transportation facilities are not good enough they're not good enough. The traffic jams in Jerusalem can be nightmarish at times. For people to get around the city is very, very difficult indeed. And so this cable car seems a great idea in terms of ease and in terms of just making things more convenient. Apparently, the cable car will provide capacity for about 3,000 passengers per hour. And it'll be, there will be 10 passengers carried in carriages going in both directions. The ride will last approximately 4.5 minutes, and the ride will be from the old train station, which for those people who know Jerusalem is slightly beyond the sort of Mount Zion Hotel area, from the opposite side of the of Mount Zion, just exactly opposite across the valley, and will take people into the area around the Dung Gate, around the Western Wall Plaza, and also will go within the City of David area to try to cater for people, tourists and travelers who wish to go there in a relatively easy way from that old train station area, which now, of course, has been renovated, is an amazing entertainment place, restaurants and shops and things like that, is really a place that attracts a lot of visitors and tourists, and you'll be able to travel directly from there within 4.5 minutes directly to the Western Wall area. So that does make sense. Of course, there is this issue about whether it clashes with the overall feel and look and atmosphere of Jerusalem. I personally support it. I think it's a great idea. I've been caught in the crowds of people trying to get from that side of Jerusalem in order to try to make their way towards either the Jaffa Gate or towards the Western Wall. It is quite a long walk and is not always difficult to get through there. So I would personally support it, but I can see why people feel that it kind of just clashes a little bit with the look and feel of Jerusalem. What do you think, Howard?
Yeah, so you know what? I was thinking a little bit earlier, perhaps for older people, certainly, also to try and get down all of those steps if you want to get to that to the Kotel. Certainly, I remember struggling with baby prams and strollers, trying to get young kids all the way upstairs. So under those circumstances, I actually think it makes it a lot more accessible to people, and I think it would be probably quite a good idea. I don't think it'll clash with the look. You know, Jerusalem somehow does manage to bring together modernity as well as the ancient. I think it does work. I happen to agree with you. I'm not really sure if you're criticizing the bridge or not. I know it's by a world famous bridge architect, but I don't happen to like it. I think it does absolutely. I think it's based on King David or King David's harp or something, but it really, it does. I know that bridge does absolutely nothing for me. I don't think it adds anything to the city at all. But
I think the one good thing about the bridge is that you either love it or you hate it. A lot of people do not like it. They feel that it does clash with the overall look and feel and general atmosphere of the city. But I've seen a kind of a mock-up, a simulation of the cable car and the station that will be constructed at the old railway station. I haven't seen what the station will look like in the Western Wall Plaza itself, but certainly I think it's quite tastefully designed and done, and I think it'll make things a lot easier, and particularly on those days where they have to close off so much of the old city because of particular events. I don't know, like, for example, on the day of the Birkat HaKohanim, the priestly blessing on Pesach and Sukkot, the whole of the old city area gets closed off, and even with the best will in the world, people who are not that mobile really can't get there, not only because of the stairs and because of the hills and things like that, but because you just can't get a vehicle anywhere near close by. And so this might well help those sort of people to have more access to those holy sites, which I think is a good thing.
Mm. Kate says, what about the security headache? Well, I would imagine that would be very, very well taken care of. Karen says a cable car would be very cool. So, yeah, I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. Anthony Reich, unfortunately, that's where we leave it. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 7:45.